Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sponsor of today's fantasy football podcast is Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the place to go for all the latest, coolest stuff when it comes to autographed jerseys, helmets, and more. You want cool stuff for the man cave, for the she shed, or just something cool that reminds you of your favorite player, go to Pristine Auction today and you can get it. Everything there is backed up with an authenticity guarantee. There's things that are affordable there too. Everything is not thousands of dollars. It's really cool small ticket items too that just make you happy inside and warm and fuzzy. All you got to do is go to pristineauction.com to get it. And when you sign up using our code FANTASYPROS, you get a $5 credit just on us. Again, that's Pristine Auction. Go there today, Pristine auction.com, and let the bidding wars begin. Now let's have some rank disagreements and talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Mike Tagliere. Oh, and who's that? It's the birthday boy, Kyle Yates, and it's you! And we're talking all things football today. In fact, today is a great debate. Today is about rankings disagreements. Now, normally you can look at Yates and Tags and you say, two guys with beards who talk football, wear glasses, very smart, all of those things. But today there's going to be a little difference. As you can see on our YouTube channel, only one is wearing a hat, and that's where the differences just begin. We've got a lot of players that they have different in their rankings, and we're going to talk about them, air the grievances. It's going to be a little like Festivus today on Yates' birthday, and maybe I will chime in as well and make the final decisions. Who knows? But Tags, disagreement is good. I like disagreement. I like debate. I like good conversations. And today I think is important because there's some players we're going to talk about that I think we all have differing opinions on, and it's good to kind of sort those out and then teach everybody else how to fish regarding those players.
I think that these are the best shows that we do. And I say that, and I think it's the best radio you hear. The best, you know, it has to stay uniform. You can't just be talking over one another because that just gets annoying. But when it comes to like everybody in groupthink and saying, oh, this player goes here and everybody agrees in the same thing, it gets a little boring. But these are the shows that maybe, you know, we've each done our own research and we've each figured out exactly what we like, don't like about players. And now it's time to kind of try and sway that other person. It's almost like a debate saying, hey, can I win you over to this side, or are you going to pull me over to that side? I love these shows.
All right. And Yates, you were captain of the debate team in high school, and I believe your freshman and sophomore year in college. And then after that, too much partying for Yates, and then things went south. But
you know me so well.
Have you prepared your debates for today? Are you prepped and ready, and you feel good about maybe bringing tags over to your side, which seems like a tough thing? He is a bit of a grump sometimes. He gets stuck in his own ways, and you want to pull him over to your side. That takes a lot of force, man. Are you ready for that heavy lifting?
I am so ready. I expect him to go easy on me because today is my birthday. So this will be, I'll just win every single debate. It'll be fine.
You could not be more wrong. If that is your approach today, may God have mercy on your soul. All right. Before we get into all these debates, I want to tell everybody we've got a new giveaway. The jersey is done. CMC, that's been given away. We'll announce that winner later in the week. But we got a new giveaway out there. It's a Clyde Edwards-Helaire helmet. And it's not just any helmet. Let me tell you, I just saw this thing over in Pristine Auction. It is amazing. It's that reversal. It's got the black helmet with the red KC. It's like the hologram kind of look. Clyde Edwards-Helaire autographed it. It's amazing. I know if Tags could, he would be running to get this, but he can't because he works here. But you can. So all you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/contest. Just make a review of the show over on Apple Podcasts or CastBox, screenshot it, and then don't forget, what you got to do is go to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros. We're closing in on 100,000 subscribers. It's going to be a beautiful day. Be one of them, because if you are, you get 3 times your entry for the CEH helmet. This is the time to buy in on him. And again, so you got the 3 times entry, you do the review, you go to fantasypros.com/contest, and that Clyde Edwards-Helaire's helmet can be yours. It is spectacular. It is. Seriously, that is a good look. That's a sexy helmet. Boys, have you seen the helmet? That's a sexy helmet.
I mean, it's nice. It's also Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is, by the way, I just put out Boom Bust and everything in between today. He is the discounted Austin Eckler. Take a look at the numbers from last year. Even when he disappointed last year, take a look at those numbers and tell me you are not shocked.
I think that's a really, I always like that. I always like the wish.com version of somebody, the discounted version of something. I always think that's very exciting. And Yates, I know you said you were going out with some friends tonight for your birthday, get a couple drinks. Are you going to be at the Boom Bust and everything in between tonight? And what time?
Yeah, the club. So people can be the club there. That I'm a part owner of, that I was the bouncer for. Now I'm the part owner. Yep. I'll be there.
Well, the bouncing took its toll on your podcast schedule. I think everybody recognizes that. All right, let's get after it and let's start talking a little football. And we're going to start with the running backs. We'll do some wide receivers and obviously quarterback and tight end as well. Now, just to set the stage once again, half point PPR, this is overall. So what I tried to do is I got my shovel out and I started digging for the differences between these two guys. And for the most part, there's not too many differences, but there's a few key ones I want to talk about. I want to start with Mike Davis because Tags, you have him 11 spots higher than Yates. That's almost a full round. So from that perspective, we've talked so much about volume being king. We've talked about the Atlanta Falcons not having a lot of competition for carries here. Mm-hmm. So Tags, you have him over Yates by 11 picks. Your thoughts on this Mike Davis difference? Maybe you can sell Yates to move up Mike Davis.
Okay, so you mean 11 overall spots. I was like, 11 mm-hmm, running back spots.
I thought
wow,
the same
Yates.
Thing. I was like, wow, that's crazy.
No, really I said overall. I did use the words
gotcha.
Overall.
Gotcha. Okay, so Mike Davis, I mean, I'm surprised that Yates is lower on Mike Davis than I am just because I felt like we would be in the same camp here. It reminds me of last year with David Montgomery. David Montgomery was the one that was coming at a discount to all the drafters who wanted to take that, let's go wide receiver heavy, tight end heavy, whatever you want to do, and then grab an RB2 in maybe the fifth or sixth round. Mike Davis is sometimes falling to the seventh round. It's kind of ridiculous at this point where you look at this Atlanta team and, you know, Joe, you and I have talked about this, is that when you talk about Atlanta's running backs, there's only one running back that we know is getting a workload. Quadri Olison is now working as the primary number two. Javian Hawkins was an undrafted free agent. There's really nobody on this team. And so you start looking through it and you say, okay, we have a rookie tight end. We have Calvin Ridley. What else do we have here? Russell Gage is not really a perimeter wide receiver. He's typically a number three wide receiver. They have Christian Blake, they have Tajay Sharp. It's an ugly depth chart. I don't know where all the touches are going to come from here, but they're going to come from somebody. And we do know that Arthur Smith, last 2 years in Tennessee, even despite having Corey Davis, AJ Brown, Jonnu Smith, they ranked 30th and 31st in pass attempts. So while I don't expect them to be that low, just because Atlanta's defense is pretty bad, I do expect them to be in the bottom half of the league in terms of pass attempts, which should raise the rushing attempts. And again, if we're working on projections and we're trying to figure out where these are going, Mike Davis is the only one we can say for certain is going to get them because they signed him right away once they took over as this new regime, this new coaching staff, to say that. He's not a sexy pick. I get it. He's not going to make you feel like, oh, I'm winning my league because of this pick. But we didn't feel that way about David Montgomery, though, last year either. So I'm confident getting, if you want to go with a wide receiver, tight end heavy approach, and you want to get a running back later that gives you a solid floor, he's gonna finish as a top 25 running back, provided he's healthy. So that's how I felt about David Montgomery last year.
Interesting comparison, though, because it does kind of feel the same, where you're not excited, yep, but he's the only guy there. And you're right, Montgomery was the dude last year for the Bears, and a lot of people kind of soured on him, weren't really excited, but he was the only dude. So Yates, when it comes to this player here and Mike Davis, do you think that maybe, I mean, there's 11 picks in between for the two of you overall. Do you think that volume warrants maybe moving him up around because he controls the volume in that offense by comparison to many running backs who frankly don't?
So here's the thing with Mike Davis and the way that I've done it based on my projections is, looking at the overall opportunity that is available in this offense, yes, Mike Davis should be, I think, 11 spots even higher than where Tags has him, right? I could easily see moving him up even further than that. But the issue here is, what's the durability? And that's why I can't get on board with that full David Montgomery comparison, is because with David Montgomery, we knew that he could handle 250 carries and that we had no concerns, right? So when we looked at the available opportunity in that offense, we said, yeah, sign me up, because I know that he can handle it. With Mike Davis, he's been a rotational back up to this point of his career. When he stepped in for in relief of Christian McCaffrey last year, we saw that it started to take a toll on him as the season went on. So as I'm looking at the projection for the full season, I have it built in where Mike Davis is going to get a pretty significant workload to start out the season, and then I have it kind of tapering off, which is why he's a little bit further down. So I think with Mike Davis, I think he's going to be a top 20 running back to start the season. I think that as long as he's on the field and fully healthy, I think that we're going to get a very, very productive fantasy football running back. But as far as my overall rankings, they're projecting for the entire season. So I think it's kind of this weird balance of like, okay, is Atlanta going to try to work in Qadree Ollison a little bit more, which is a huge leap of faith because we have seen nothing from him up to this point of his career to indicate that he can handle and step in and be a productive number two option in this backfield. So there's a lot here where it's just like, okay, are they going to try to keep Mike Davis healthy and fresh, or are they just going to run him into the ground and see how long it takes? And then maybe they'll sign a free agent running back off the streets. You know, like what? I'm trying to find that balance here. So that's why Mike Davis is a little bit further down. But I will get on board with saying that Mike Davis is going to be a very, very relevant fantasy football running back, as long as he is the main option, as long as he's fully healthy, until we see that workload start to take its toll.
I would say for me, I'm kind of split in between you guys on this because I agree with everything you just said. Durability is my concern there. I also think a lot of this has to do with roster construction. Like if you're talking about a round difference between the two of you and you hit wide receiver really early in the first two rounds, Mike Davis becomes far more appealing as your second running back on your team. Whereas if you've hit running back early and often, then you're looking around, do I want to take another running back here? Yeah. I think more of this, the divide almost becomes philosophical between how you want to create and roster a team. I also wonder if Mike Davis becomes a perfect trade asset for Michael Carter, who you have 11 points, right? A guy maybe we like more as the season goes on. 11 point difference between in terms of spots in overall and half PPR for Michael Carter over Tags, in your opinion. So take me through this thought process once again, why you are higher and why basically you want to make sure you get this player on your roster and then maybe the patience you need to practice with him.
Yeah, so the two similarities here, right, is there is an opportunity in both of these backfields, and there's a little bit of ambiguity here. So we're trying to flesh it out, and we're trying to figure out what exactly it's going to look like with Atlanta and then the New York Jets, respectively. So with Michael Carter, and the reason why I have him even as low as I do, I think that he can be even higher than this if he gets this job right out of the gates, but I'm not projecting that. I think that we're going to see Tevin Coleman factor into this backfield as part of a rotation. I think you're going to see LaMichael Pirine here to start the year. And then as we move into the season, week 4, week 5 is when we truly start to see Michael Carter assert himself as the 1A in this backfield. And so with Michael Carter, with the talent that he brings to the table, his receiving ability, I think that Zach Wilson is going to be looking his way early and often as he starts to get adjusted to the NFL speed. Because again, we're talking about a quarterback making a jump from BYU and not necessarily playing a ton of high-level competition to then going up against NFL speed right out of the gate, that's a little bit of a concern. I think that he's going to lean on Michael Carter there as a check-down option. So with Michael Carter, he's got the talent, he's got the receiving ability, he's a perfect fit for this scheme. I think that we're going to see him take over sooner rather than later, and I think that a perfect pairing, especially at this spot of the draft, if you do end up going wide receiver early, draft Mike Davis, come back a round or two later, and grab Michael Carter, because the two might overlap, where we see Mike Davis come out of the gates on fire and then start to taper off, but we see Michael Carter start a slow start to the season and then really ramp up. So I think that that's a really good strategy. You talk about that philosophy of fantasy football. I think that's a really good strategy there.
All right, we can't predict the future, but tags, do you look at this as a scenario where running back is a young man's game, and having the younger legs here and the fresher guy might also be something where maybe you want to consider moving Carter up a little bit in your rankings?
I got to say, I'm not happy being on this end of the debate when it comes to Michael Carter.
Wait a minute. Are you not happy with something?
Well, stop it.
Stop it. So,
no, but in reality, I've been touting Michael Carter, saying that he's the best running back on that Jets team. It's just more about, you know, does he get the opportunity right away? Is he going to live up to that? Is he going to be someone that people draft as, you know, let's call it the 35th running back off the board, and then after 2 weeks they're kind of like, oh, he's like a Nyheim Hines type in this offense, when in reality that role can grow. What it reminds me of is a situation that happened where I found a league winner around the RB32 range. This is back a couple years ago. It was Devonta Freeman. And interestingly enough, Devonta Freeman was behind Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman was being drafted before Devonta Freeman in those drafts, and it kind of just made me feel like, why are we anointing Tevin Coleman as a guy? And now we know who Tevin Coleman is. Then we didn't even know. Now we know he's just not the guy. He never holds up to a workload. And even when he does, he is not efficient as a workhorse running back. He's better as a timeshare. Now, Michael Carter was someone who was in a timeshare in college, so we really don't know if he can handle that full workload. But that But not knowing that is probably one of the best things about him. You know, maybe he can handle that. Maybe it's, again, as I compared him to, that Justin Forsett situation where it's a smaller running back. Maybe that people think that he's just more of like a third down back. But I think Michael Carter is actually more than that. So if Yates wants to draft him 10, 11 spots higher than I do, I have no issue with that. Me, it's just keeping those expectations in check, especially when the season just begins. It's almost the reverse of Mike Davis. You know, you talked about Davis at the beginning of the season, think he's going to be great, you know, where I think it might take a couple weeks for to pay dividends on Michael Carter. But again, he is the best running back on that team.
I think, Yates, you actually make the better argument here. But for me, I'm going to lean a little bit with tags on this one. And the reason is my concerns about the overall Jets offense. And I think whenever you have concerns in the offense as a whole, that just starts to pull back all of your expectations for the talent. So talent is great, but where they land is most important. And all the new things, his rookie, it's a young quarterback, all those things, everything's going to have to come together a little bit. And I do think it will eventually. I think Carter might be a guy, once again, maybe you want to trade for, or I could even see some people maybe getting frustrated in those like shallow 10-team leagues, dropping him as soon as he hits the waiver wire. Go get him. It's the draft capital that Tags is talking about. One round difference that gives me pause. One round difference between you guys too, basically, especially a 10-team league. 10 spots difference. Chase Edmonds, Tags, you have him over Yates. Talk to me about Chase Edmonds. You know, we've talked about this player, you know, more recently. I can't remember which show it was, but
it was Seeley. Keep going.
Yeah, it was Seeley, right. That's what we were just talking about, Chase Edmonds. Now, Seeley was negative about Edmonds. I've been kind of negative. I'm not saying you have him ranked highly. You just have him ranked higher than Yates. So when you look at that backfield in Arizona, do you think that Edmonds is the guy that you want to have in PPR? Or would you rather have James Conner, who might be more the traditional three down back if, again, he could stay on the field? What are your thoughts about Edmonds and this backfield as a whole?
With Edmonds being drafted where he is, I don't believe that there's the upside being built into his cost, where I can understand the argument to say, hey, James Conner was signed. I would also argue that James Conner was signed for like just $2 million. It was late in the free agency cycle, so it was not a priority for them. They've talked about saying Chase Edmonds is ready for a bigger workload. Chase Edmonds, I went through the article of which running backs were better, worse than expected in 2020. And the numbers that Chase Edmonds has shown the last couple of years, it reminds me a lot of Austin Ekeler, where when Ekeler was projected to get a bigger role in the offense, offense, it was like, hey, this can take off just because of his usage in the passing game. He doesn't even need to be elite on the ground. But Edmonds was a guy that, you know, he averaged, it was close to 5 yards per carry last year. And again, it wasn't a completely different role than Kenyon Drake, but at the same time, he is a third down, he can play on the third down roles. James Conner, the biggest concern I have with Chase Edmonds is the fact that he has one carry over his career inside the 5 yard line, which tells me that James Conner might get those goal line touches, the ones that we so covet as fantasy football managers. But at the same time, think about Austin Eckler, who has lost touches over the course of his career to guys inside the 5 yard line. And we're hearing that again about Joshua Kelly or Larry Roundtree, that these guys might get the goal line carries over Eckler in 2021. But that's not stopping people from drafting Eckler as a back end RB1, especially in PPR format. So knowing that Edmonds is going in the RB3 range, I feel very confident drafting him there because I can find another competent running back, someone that could fill a role. If you wanted to draft a Mike Davis and a Chase Edmonds in that territory and say, hey, one of these guys is going to be solid, the other one's going to present a ton of upside. It's all about maximizing the league winning potential on your roster. And I think Chase Edmonds, again, being drafted around that RB26, 27 territory, there's no guaranteed running backs at that point. So why not take the guy that has top 12 upside because of his usage in the passing game?
All right. When it comes to, you know, the difference between the half and the full PPR Yates, you're looking and trying to evaluate Chase Edmonds, losing those goal line carries is everything to me in the evaluation process. This is a backfield I'm running away from. You are not as high on Edmonds as Tag. So take me through your thoughts here on Edmonds.
I'm going to strongly disagree with the top 12 upside for Chase Edmonds, and comparing him to Austin Eckler in that role, just because with Austin Eckler, he's the number one, number two target in that offense, right? Because it's Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler are neck and neck as far as targets. And then you've got guys like Mike Williams, you've got Hunter Henry in the past, Jared Cook's, entering that role now, but Austin Eckler is going to get his volume. In this offense here, James Conner's still a capable pass catching back. He's still going to be on the field. Chase Edmonds, 67 targets last year, but then you've got DeAndre Hopkins. We know the volume that he's going to get. AJ Green, hello tags. and then Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore entering. He's going to be involved out of the backfield too. Don't be surprised if you see two running backs on the field and you have Rondale Moore as that second running back in the backfield there alongside Chase Edmonds. So I think that you're going to see these other options kind of just all cancel each other out. So when I sit down, I'm not taking a massive leap of faith to say that Chase Edmonds is suddenly going to end up with 100 plus targets on the season, which is what he needs to be able to get into that top 12 territory. I just can't get there. So with Chase Edmonds, I think that he's fine. I think that you can roll him into your lineup as an RB3 every single week. He does get a bump up in full PPR formats, but I can't get on board with saying that he's going to be a top 12, even top 24 running back this year.
I can't get on board with it either. I don't like Edmonds as a flex, and I'll tell you why. You forgot the one biggest piece of this is Kyler Murray. Because if it's not James Conner, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Kyler Murray running in the football. And that's the difference maker. Those quarterbacks that control all their own scoring that we like to talk about here on the show. So that, to me, when you get into the red zone, when you get into the goal line, when you get to those big fantasy points that matter, Kyler Murray controls them all. And him turning around and handing the ball to Chase Edmonds doesn't feel like there's going to be a whole lot of that happening when you get into that area, because Chase Edmonds is not the number one talent on that offense. He ain't the number two talent on this offense. Maybe he's the number three. Maybe, we shall see. But once again, one and two are the ones that are going to pop up more often than not. Let's talk about Underdog Fantasy and take a moment from our debates. Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest way to play fantasy football for big cash prizes. On Underdog Fantasy, you just draft. No need to worry about waivers, lineups, or injuries. Underdog handles it all for you, so go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app, draft a season-long best ball team, and that's it. No in-season management. They're going to give you $25 just for signing up, and you can take a free shot at $1 million grand prize in their fantasy football tournament. That's right. You get a free $25 in bonus cash on us at Underdog Fantasy. All you got to do is use that promo code FANTASYPROS when you make that first deposit. I love Underdog Fantasy. It's easy to use. The mobile app is awesome. It's slick. It's cool. The website is user-friendly. So what I've been doing is go to underdogfantasy.com, join a league, draft a team, and that's it. You're good for the entire season. And remember, go to underdogfantasy.com in the App Store or the Google Play Store and sign up with the code FANTASYPROS to get that $25. Now, I don't know about you, Tags. We've done a couple of these drafts over there for best ball for Underdog. I did a few early on. I got some values there with the Packer guys. I got Aaron Rodgers Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams all on one squad. That was a good time because they were all just, everybody was a worried. Oh no, it's going to go with Aaron Rodgers. That to me is the joy of doing the early ones. Sometimes you get good values, but now it's August. Now it's like best ball season. So this is a unique opportunity where we start to have a little bit more clarity, especially with training camp going on, some injuries. So for you, when you start to approach these best ball leagues on underdog, is it kind of change your tune now? Now are you drafting it almost more like you would a season long team, or are you still trying to take some shots and some wild cards?
Well, it's making some changes in terms of how I draft, just because my strategy in best ball leagues has traditionally been grab tight end early, grab running back early, and then worry about wide receivers later. As the offseason progresses, people are starting to find out more and more which wide receivers are climbing up the depth chart, which ones are more involved than people thought they'd be. So it's changing a lot of things. Guys like Gabriel Davis falling a little bit further down the ranks for me, because we're hearing a lot of great things about Emmanuel Sanders and how they're going to use him. So unless Cole Beasley misses the year, which is still possible, then Gabriel Davis, it brings down the hype a little bit. And obviously I'm starting to miss out on a little bit of my Rashad Bateman shares that I was getting much earlier in the offseason at a mad discount, where now it's like you're starting to hear good things, him beating Marlon Humphrey in practice and basically raising his ADP. So yes, it's actually helping, you know, those late drafters catch up on where basically we were anticipating things going throughout the offseason.
And look, with no waivers, trades, setting lineups, Best Ball Mania 2, that's the tournament to get in. It's $1 million grand prize. Again, that's at Underdog Fantasy. Use that promo code Fantasy Pros to get involved with that. And you want to take advantage of the discounts when you get them, right? $25 and player discounts, because we're giving you all the knowledge here at Fantasy Pros. Don't forget to use that code, that bonus $25 on us. And Underdog, like I said, it's a fun place to play. It's a very easy draft software, as I was telling everybody there. So go check that out today. And let's get back to the debates. Let's get to another guy on Yates' list that is higher than Tags. I have Latavius Murray actually pretty high recently. I made that adjustment because I do believe there's going to be a very different Saints offense that's coming. Now, you've made this adjustment here, and Yates, you are 14 spots higher than Tags when it comes to Latavius Murray. That's a round and change. So set the stage for me. I guess you kind of feel like I do, where the Michael Thomas injury really just changes the whole dynamic of what the Saints are going to try to do this year.
Yeah, and this was off of the back of the Michael Thomas news. So with Latavius Murray, I've got him down for 187 rush attempts on the season, 806 rushing yards, only 5 touchdowns, but 51 targets and 2 receiving touchdowns. So I think at the start of the season, I am still projecting that it's going to be Jameis Winston. I talked about the difference there in a previous podcast where we broke down the Michael Thomas news, saying that you can still be run heavy with Jameis Winston as your quarterback. You can lean on guys like Latavius Murray, Alvin Kamara. They signed Devontae Freeman, and no, Devontae Freeman does not move the needle for me whatsoever here with these other two running backs. So I think Latavius Murray is in line for a sizable workload, and I think it's not necessarily going to be something where he's going to jump into a top 20 running back like he has upside. I really don't think that he does. I think that he's just going to be a safe running back that you can plug in as a bye week option, someone that you can get at a discount, because he has not necessarily been the Mark Ingram of years past in this offense. But I do think that they're going to need to lean on him, especially when there's no Michael Thomas. So Alvin Kamara, we could see him moved out wide, and you have Latavius Murray in the backfield as well. I think with Murray, he's just a safe option. I'm not really going to like die on this hill saying that Latavius Murray is a like fantasy football running back that you have to draft in fantasy drafts this year. But I do think that he's going to be a safe option, one that you can at least rely on.
Never die on the Latavius Murray hill. No. That's just good advice for everybody out there. But it doesn't mean he's not a useful bench guy. And a round difference is a round difference. Tags, are you waiting to kind of see a little bit what happens in preseason with the Saints and what this offense kind of looks like before making any adjustments? Or are you somebody that regardless of what you see, it's just not enough for Latavius Murray for you to move him up in your rankings at all?
I'm a little worried that the Saints are concerned with Latavius Murray's workload now that he's getting up there in age, because he's going to be 32 years old in January. So he's not a young running back anymore. That Devonta Freeman signing is weird. I didn't understand it when they did it this weekend, but it's a thing, right? Like, we have to understand, like, why are they doing that? Why did they not give Latavius Murray more workload last year? They didn't. Like, there were games, I remember one game in particular where I made a bet on DraftKings about the prop. It was like over 7.5 carries for Latavius Murray in a game that the Saints were supposed to win. he had like three carries in the first quarter and then had one the rest of the game. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like what is happening here? And I was kind of.
Was that a Taysom Hill game tag?
No, it wasn't. No, it was still okay. Breeze. Yeah. And I figured it was a game the Saints were going to easily win. It made no sense that he wouldn't have a ton of carries, but he didn't. It's just more about the offense not scoring as many points in general, no matter who's under center. I don't believe this offense is in the position to play with the way that they did with Breeze. There's going to be a transition period. Now, Taysom Hill going under center, is it going to help Latavius get on the field more? Sure. Is it going to equal more fantasy points? That's probably a no, because again, we talked about Kyler Murray. We talked about Alvin Kamara being one of the best running backs in the red zone. Latavius Murray, it's just all about those goal line opportunities. That's what you're looking for with him, because he's not someone who's going to get 15 plus carries per game. So it's either touchdown or bust. So essentially he's just a handcuff, and a handcuff now in an offense that's not going to score as many points. Usually I'm the one that was higher on Latavius Murray in years past, but this year it's more like, if I get him, okay. If I don't, I'm okay with that too.
All right. When it comes to more running back depth, too, another player we've discussed quite a bit, and I'm not surprised by this ranking, because Leonard Fournette is 17 spots higher for tags over Yates. Now, Yates is Team Ronald
How's
Jones.
That feel?
We know this.
How's that feel?
How's that feel?
That feels terrible, to be honest.
All right. So let's go here, tags. The floor is yours. Tell me why this is a huge mistake. Tell me, again, because basically what we're looking at now is either you believe in what you saw at the end of the season, or you're buying into, well, Ronald Jones is the younger back. Ronald Jones playing for a contract. Ronald Jones, from a data standpoint, is the more intriguing fantasy asset. So you're either believing the stats or you're believing your eyes. But it looks like you're believing your eyes, because Leonard Fournette was the guy last time around that was getting it done at the end of the season.
I don't know, man. I mean, the playoffs were something, but
December wasn't bad either. Let's not forget I feel like everyone just talks about the playoffs. Dude, but at the end of December, was when it started.
He was not good. No, he totaled more than 52 yards on the ground just one game all season long. And that was before the playoffs. So I went to Yates's club, boom bust and everything in between today. It came out.
Wow, it was early.
But basically,
I guess it is 24 hours, that club.
But in the article, I actually went through and highlighted that Leonard Fournette was worse than Nyheim Hines and J.D. McKissick in every single way last year. I go through RB1 percentage, RB2 percentage, RB3 percentage, boom, bust, all that stuff. He was terrible. And then the Bucs decided, hey, we're going to let him go out there in free agency. We're going to let him test the waters. Go see what you could do off that massive playoff performance. It comes back. Guys, give me whatever you can. They give him a $3.2 million one-year contract. That is hardly a commitment. Ronald Jones is the better 1-2 down back, and then they bring in Giovanni Bernard this offseason, who's a better pass catcher than Leonard Fournette. We can go through the tape last year and watch how many balls that he dropped in the flats. Ronald Jones is not a good receiver either, which is, again, why they bring in Giovanni Bernard is a third-down presence, that someone that Tom Brady can rely upon. So I do not like where I'm at on this one. It's going to force me to say, hey, what the hell did I do wrong in my overall rankings, because Fournette was someone I'm lower than the consensus. I've seen him go over Ronald Jones in drafts, and I think it makes zero sense, because again, the Bucs did not make it a priority to sign him. I'm going to pull up ADP right now just because I want to see where
this is great though. While you're pulling up the ADP, Yates, I feel like Tags basically just did your job for you. You're just going to drop the mic and walk away.
Well, this was one of the backfields that, like, his starting argument was, I don't know. And I feel like I'm the exact same way with this backfield. And again, it's a theme here with Arizona, we talked about, with Atlanta, with the New York Jets, is these backfields that we just don't know. We don't know what these are going to look like. So we're taking a little bit of a leap of faith with projecting these backfields. With Fournette, I was shocked when I sat down and did projections back in, May or June, because we had ended the season. I jumped right into scouting for the NFL draft. And then, so I didn't look at any of the previous year's stats until I sat down into projections. And I was shocked to see that Leonard Fournette only had 97 rush attempts on the season. I thought that, and Ronald Jones had 192. I thought those two numbers would have been flipped, just the way that I had it in my mind from what the end of the season and the playoffs were for Leonard Fournette. So when you look at Leonard Fournette, only 3.8 yards per carry on 97 rush attempts last year. It's not great, Bob. So I think with Fournette, like, I just don't know if he is going to have a crucial role in this backfield. I think Ronald Jones is the better runner. And then you bring in Giovanni Bernard to be that reliable pass catching back, which is where you could have made the argument that Fournette could have slid into and at least provided some of that value. But yeah, like Tags alluded to, he wasn't very good either last year. So I think it's just a weird, weird backfield. I'm projecting Ronald Jones to be the starter and then Giovanni Bernard to be that third down pass catching back, which leaves Fournette out in the cold.
I can't remember where I read it, but it was a piece about Leonard Fournette saying he was struggled just the first couple of months just trying to pick up the playbook and trying to figure out things there. And it took him that long to get on board.
Well, I mean, so in fairness, he was signed one week before the start of the season.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So he was acquired right before the season started. They basically, week one happened. And that is a very difficult scenario. Plus, you also have to learn the timing, learn the snap count, all the things that go into it. And then there's Tom Brady, who obviously, it's the comfort level of when you earn his trust and respect, that's what happens. It's always very difficult when you have great performers on the big stage because everything gets enhanced because everybody's watching those games. Everybody doesn't watch every game. It's almost physically impossible to do anyway. But everybody's watching those playoff games, and that is always something that ends up somehow kind of sticking with us in the offseason when you see these great performances in the division playoffs, in the wild card playoffs, and then it goes into the Super Bowl. It's really tough to shake it. Tags, let's go back to what you were talking about in terms of the ADP. Did you find what you were looking for?
I did. I have Fournette at RB 36. He's going at RB 33 in ADP.
So in line.
Well, yeah, I'm a little bit lower, which was why I was surprised to hear. It's like, hey, you're 17 spots higher than Yates. I'm like, why am I? It means just
because Yates hates
it. Just
Leonard
means Yates is like extremely down. Yates, out of
I've
curiosity,
got him at 51.
RB 51.
Oh, and I've got Ronald Jones at 27. Giovanni Bernard at 63.
Wow.
That's that. Let that sink in, everybody, for a moment. And while it does, let's get one more running back before we turn the page to the wide receivers. Let's talk about Jamal Williams, a player that I've got a ton of shares of. 14 spots higher, Yates. You've got him than Tags. Again, that's more than a full round difference here. We look for these running backs who have the potential for more opportunity, but also have a role kind of sitting and waiting for them already. Jamal Williams has proven with the Packers that he's actually very good in the red zone, too. You would see sometimes him catching the ball, scoring touchdowns, doing all kinds of things. This is going to be, I'm trying to put this delicately, an underwhelming potential offense for the Detroit Lions. But the one thing I think the Lions are going to want to do is run the football. That at least appears to be the Dan Campbell philosophy. So your thoughts on Jamal Williams here. Why are you a little bit more aggressive on him, you think, than Tags?
Well, I mean, it's not like I'm out here ranking Jamal Williams as a top 24 running back. I've got him at 37. So Tags has got him where I've got Leonard Fournette, apparently. with Williams, and I think this is going to be the difference, Tags, if you have DeAndre Swift in your top 20 running backs, I've got him just outside. And I think it's because of canceling out the workload there. I am expecting Jamal Williams to be more of a factor in this offense than I think a lot of other people are. But again, I'm not going crazy with it because I don't think that this is going to be a good offense. I've only got Jamal Williams with 5 total touchdowns on the year, 147 rush attempts and 60 targets. So I think that's going to be the difference, is trying to see. I don't think DeAndre Swift is going to get 80 plus targets in this offense. I just can't see that happening when you do have Anthony Lynn here who wants to utilize multiple running backs. They have a need for pass catchers. Jamal Williams is a very capable pass catching back in his own right. Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to see him eat into DeAndre Swift's workload. I think that's going to be the difference here, if I'm betting on it, why there's such a difference there.
Tags, is that the difference? Is your DeAndre Swift ranking really affect, or projection even affect, Jamal Williams for you?
It does affect it a bit, but this really comes down to once you get into this territory, you almost don't want to go by projections because James White and guys like that would be in there over guys like Fournette or Jamal Williams or whatever. Guys even like Tariq Cohen might find their way up there. But the reason you don't is because you understand the lack of potential they have. Jamal Williams fits into that character, that territory for me, because I don't know of a situation where I even see him as an every week starter. This team brought in Todd Gurley this offseason for a workout, which tells me they have him on their radar. So even if something did happen to DeAndre Swift and he were to miss some time, I think they'd bring in another running back. Maybe even Adrian Peterson comes back. And you talked about Dan Campbell wanting to run the football. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? That's the saying, and it's a saying for a reason, because they're going to get punched in the mouth. That defense is in a rebuild mode. It's not ready to play right now. It's almost going back to the Falcons, where I know Arthur Smith wants to run the football, but are they going to be able to? Is that defense going to allow them to do that? So for me, I would rather have someone like Leonard Fournette, because at least we know he's tied to a high scoring offense. And if he ever did get that opportunity, if Ronald Jones were to go down for whatever reason, he's someone that would come in and you'd start every single week. And I know that. I don't think I can say the same thing for someone like Jamal Williams. That's the only reason why. It's just a lack of potency the offense.
All right, we're gonna take a moment here before we switch gears with the wide receivers and talk to you about Dynasty Owner. If you've been looking for a new challenge, well, Dynasty Owner is here for you. It's a new platform. Again, it's called Dynasty Owner, and it unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, Adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise, Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics that want the real GM experience. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues are forming now. That's DynastyOwner.com. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky, but if you're like me and you think you're better than most, then Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Put your money where your mouth is. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using the real NFL salaries with the real NFL salary cap, and it adds an entirely new level of strategy to the game you love. Go to DynastyOwner.com and validate your fantasy football skills today. Again, that's DynastyOwner.com. So takeaways from the running back segment here, if I may. Nobody really likes Leonard Fournette between the two of you. Jamal Williams, meh. I think you have some good respect for Mike Davis, some good hopes for Michael Carter, and Chase Edmonds, just gross. I'm not going to go there. I'm not doing it. Like, I don't care. You can't convince me tags no matter what you do about the Chase Edmonds thing. And to a bigger meta point, if I may, before we transition on, this to me is why the drafts that I do on the Draft Wizard, when I'm mock drafting, when we're doing mocks in Discord with the fans and the community of fantasy pros, the teams where I hit running back early and often, I really don't care what the grade is. I like the way the rosters look, and there's so much great depth, whether it be Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney, guys like Jalen Waddle that we're so excited about, late and wide receiver, that just feel like those are good investment draft picks. And it just feels like the later you wait on running back, the more you have to decide with these guys. And that doesn't feel good to me. Do you guys kind of get that same sense?
Yep, completely.
Yep. All right, let's move on here to the wide receivers. Let's start with the two guys for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because tags, I'm looking at this number here. Deontay Johnson, you've got 11 spots over Yates, and Juju Smith-Schuster, you've got 18 spots over Yates overall. So you are higher on this collective. I'm curious, why do you think they're still a good investment? And then we'll go to Yates and maybe he can voice some of his concerns.
Deontay Johnson's one of the best investments you can make at his current ADP. Going through it, he is the only wide receiver in the NFL who saw more than 8.5 targets per game, but is being drafted outside the top 12 wide receivers. And by the way, it's not like he barely crossed over that number. Deontay Johnson averaged 9.6 targets per game, and that included a game or two where he had to leave early and that he was knocked out of. Deontay Johnson is that dude. Like, he is going to be extremely good. His targets are there. I could make the argument that he should be up there, like, and I actually do. You're going to see that tomorrow in Yates's club, boom, bust, and everything in between, is that Deontay Johnson was actually better than Terry McLaurin last year. If you go game by game, if you look at their draft position, like Deontay Johnson, they added Najee Harris. It's a running back. Now, is he going to get some targets? Sure. I think he's going to take away more from Eric Ebron than anything. Whereas you look at the situation with Terry McLaurin, and it's like they add De'Ami Brown, they add Curtis Samuel. They're talking about using Antonio Gibson more in the passing game, you know? So there's a lot more concern there. So if you want Terry McLaurin, why not take a couple round discount and get Deontay Johnson instead? You could take both if you want, but Deontay Johnson deserves to be in the conversation. At least he deserves to be in the conversation for a strong, strong wide receiver too.
And it's funny, this once again kind of goes back to that same thing, whereas if you hit running back early and often and your best wide receivers are guys like CeeDee Lamb and Deontay Johnson, I don't think that's so bad in full PPR. And then Juju, you have 18 spots over Yates. Yates, I'm going to toss it to you for both of these Steelers guys here. Why do you see this gap here in your opinion? We've got a full round and then a round and a half, basically, difference in terms of your value for the Steelers wide receivers of the top two guys and then where Tags is at.
Well, you have to start the conversation with the Steelers as far as their pass attempts per game was 41 on average, 41 pass attempts per game last year. That is absurd. They went into this offseason and said, we are not doing that again with Ben Roethlisberger. Let's get a running back here. Let's get another tight end that can be a presence in the run game as well with Pat Freiermuth that they drafted in the second round. The offensive line sure took a step backwards, but I still think that they're going to be more committed to the run game and getting that balanced out. So I've got them dropping from 41 pass attempts per game to 35 this year. That is a significant, significant drop off when you talk about the overall total pass attempts. So you have to start there. Then when you look at the pass attempts and the target share and how you break that down with Deontay Johnson, I still think that he's going to be a very, very safe option. But you mentioned that threshold there, Tags, of what was it, 8.5 or, yep, you know, whatever that threshold was as far as targets per game. That's a direct correlation with the overall total passing volume of the offense. So I think they're going to live more here in two tight end sets. And they're going to get Pat Freiermuth on the field a little bit more. If that's the case, then you've got some reliable receiving options here. Pat Freiermuth is lighting it up in Steelers training camp. So you got Pat Freiermuth, you've got Najee Harris, who, let's be like, have you seen the one-handed grab that he had in training camp here earlier on? He is a phenomenal pass-catching running back. They're going to get him the ball. Yes, Diontae Johnson is going to be a very, very safe option because we know that Big Ben absolutely loves targeting him. But as far as the overall upside and what Diontae Johnson has done the past couple of years, living on the insane volume, you knew that you were going to be able to plug him into your lineup because he was going to get that guaranteed, that 8.5 and even more than that targets per game. That's going to come crashing down because I don't think that this Steelers offense is going to be as pass happy as it has been in previous years. So when you start to kind of sift through all the moves that they've made this offseason and you look at the available receiving options that they're bringing in here with Najee Harris, with Pat Freiermuth, and the emergence and kind of that projection of a second year leap for Chase Claypool kind of leaves Diontae Johnson saying, like, I think he's going to be fine. I don't see that top 12 upside.
I think what's so interesting here, too, is, you know, when you remember and think back to Le'Veon Bell days, you were able to get giant Antonio Brown seasons along with that. And then you actually had some Juju Smith-Schuster seasons. And there were more years, too, where they were running the ball effectively and there were two guys. It's that third guy I'm concerned about. And I don't know if that third guy is going to be Claypool or Juju. And that's where I have more pause. Diontae, I still feel good about. It's the other two where I think you might flip a coin and one of them is going to be right. And I think one of them is going to be wrong. Corey Davis, who has been Tag's guy, it turns out it's not true. It's all been a lie. It's been Yates' guy the whole time. It's a ruse. 15 spots different here. Yates, it seems like you're the guy who's giving Corey Davis love, and Tags is just, I don't know, flapping his gums about him.
This comes down to what you believe the target distribution is going to be with this deep wide receiver core. And so this is the difference here. And I know that, you know, Tags is higher on Elijah Moore, and I'm obviously not as high on Elijah Moore. Don't think that he's going to be as involved here in year one. I do think that we're going to see Jamison Crowder heavily involved. I've got Corey Davis as the unquestioned wide receiver one in this offense as far as a target share. I've got him with 121 targets on the season. So when you break that down into what I think that he can be for this offense, it sets him apart from some of these other receiving options and some of the other guys in that range. I want Corey Davis on my roster. I've got him at wide receiver 26 on the season. So Corey Davis, I don't think that he comes with ridiculous upside because I can't see him scoring 7+ touchdowns on the year because of Zach Wilson and the growing pains that we're going to see here in year one. And keep this in mind, Zach Wilson, drafted number 2 overall, is a developmental quarterback. He's going to take some time. I love what he can be in year 2. Year 3, year 1, it's going to be a little bit rough here. So don't expect huge, huge things from this offense. But Corey Davis, I think he's going to lean on him. And that's why I've got him, you know, higher than Tex.
I think you could even say it's going to be a lot a bit rough. Also, Crowder, Yates has him 30 spots higher. He was another guy on the list to talk about, but Yates, you already hit it. So I might as well just throw that out there. Clearly, you're buying into that. Now, all right, so Mr. Corey Davis, you've been talking about him all the time, what a good value he is. You know, mm-hmm. They're one on a bad team, all these things. Yet, what are you doing? You're leaving him behind, I feel like. No wide receiver gets left behind here, Tags. What are you doing?
I mean, I have him at wide receiver 40. Yates, where did you have him in your rankings? You said projections, wide receiver 26.
26.
That's where you have him in rankings too. Okay. So I'm building in some risk with him in the fact that Zach Wilson doesn't pan out. Because if Zach Wilson is not very good, Corey Davis is not going to be an every week starter. And basically, so drafting him as an every week starter, you know, as a top 35 wide receiver in drafts, you're kind of locked into playing him as your wide receiver 3 at that point. But if you get him as your wide receiver 4, all of a sudden you're saying, hey, if Zach Wilson pans out, this is going to be it could be a top 24 season for Corey Davis. If he doesn't pan out, it's not going to be an every week starter. You're going to kind of rotate him with someone else, maybe like a Mike Williams. So again, pairing Corey Davis, Mike Williams as your wide receiver 3 and 4, I'm cool with that if you want to do that. But I'm building in some risk with Zach Wilson. And by the way, I don't think he's as developmental as you're saying. I think that there's a question about him transitioning to the NFL from where he played at. I think when I think developmental, I think of someone like Trey Lance, who only has one year of
play. When you say developmental, I think Kyle Trask.
Well, that's what I think. I'm saying Trey Lance because it's almost like he has 1 year of what he's shown in the football field, and it was at a smaller school where Wilson's been playing for a little bit longer, so he has a little bit more experience. But to me, it's can Wilson translate to the NFL or not? I don't think it's like, hey, he has to develop these traits. He has the traits. It's whether or not it translates from BYU to the NFL. I think that's more the question with him. But again, the Jets
are a lot easier tags to make that transition in San Francisco than it is in New York. I'm just telling you, I've lived here my whole life. Well, It is very hard to come in with expectations as a young quarterback. Yeah. Because, look, 4 years ago, everybody thought Sam Darnold was the lock guy too, right? Yeah, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, Sam Darnold's going to come in there and be the guy, and this is our franchise quarterback, and everybody was super excited about it. And then as soon as it starts going south, it gets real dark real fast. And I just hope for Zach Wilson's, you know, standpoint that the coaching staff this time is more equipped to handle that potentially, right? Because the coaching staff, I think, is really let Sam Darnold down. I don't know how much Sam Darnold let the Jets down. I think it was the environment around him, and I'm fascinated to see what happens when he gets out of it. I'm also fascinated because you've got Devontae Smith, not surprisingly so, the Slim Reaper, your dude, 25 spots higher than Mr. Dynasty Yates. Now, Mr. Dynasty, who loves all the young prospects, who can rattle off guys that you might even know, heard of, playing for teams right there. Yates is your guy for that. And then there's the guy that just won the Heisman, and he's all the way 25 spot, two rounds different. So you are bullish. Tell me about him, Tags. Why do you think that you feel comfortable being so aggressive on Smith?
Well, this is not a good conversation to have right now, because we just found out that Devontae Smith has his sprained MCL, going to miss a couple weeks. We don't know if that's going to leak into the season. I mean, if you look at the date, he should be fine by the start of the season.
I was going to say, sprained MCL usually is a couple weeks. That should, I mean, again, a couple weeks this time of year is not great for a rookie, but still seems to be okay. But go ahead.
Yeah, we don't want him missing time. And then we hear Jalen Reagor failed his conditioning test. Like, all of a sudden, it's what is happening in Philadelphia? This is not good for
everything Yates and I predicted. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you like Devontae Smith as well.
I love Smith, so, but calm the rest of it, I'm concerned.
But anyways, you know, Devontae Smith, like, in terms of, you know, who he is in this offense, what he was projected to be, the number one, the clear cut number one. You know, Yates talked about Corey Davis and the fact that Corey Davis is the clear cut number one. Devontae Smith's the clear cut number one. That's really what it comes down to, because this, this Philadelphia defense is, they're lacking. We saw it last year, their cornerback unit. They thought they fixed it with Darius Slay. It led them to throw the ball more than they wanted to with Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts had an off year last year. Not even going to disagree with that. I've thrown out some stats that suggest his accuracy was among the worst we've ever seen among quarterbacks who threw at least 100 passes in a season. Do I think he's that bad? No, because when he was coming out of Oklahoma, I didn't think he was as good as everyone was saying he was, but I also don't think he was as bad as he was in 2020. So I think there's an in-between here, and it really just comes down to the target share. Devontae Smith was going to see, you know, if you sit down and you just like close your eyes and put it in your mind and say, okay, I'm looking at the box score after week one, week two, Devontae Smith is a guy that's getting 6, 7, 8 targets per week.
Wait, can we all do that as an exercise? Go ahead. Because you actually physically closed your eyes, and this is why you watch the YouTube channel and subscribe. Tag said if we could all close our eyes, and then he did it. So go ahead. I want to go through this.
I'm just saying, imagine looking at the box score and saying, how many targets did Devontae Smith have, Yates?
In week one?
Yeah.
6.
That felt like it was a guess. You did not see it. You need to vision it, Yates.
Let me look. Hold on. I've got him with 6. I've got him 6 targets per game is his projection for me.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit low, but it's okay. Yeah, but is a wide receiver 3 is the number one of an offense. I'm okay with that. He belongs in the, I guess him and Corey Davis should be guys that should be considered in the same territory for me.
All right. So Yates, do you not think that, I guess, is he truly the one for you in this offense? I mean, especially with this Reagor stuff we were just talking about too. Does that maybe start to bump Smith up for you a little bit when you hear that, despite the Smith injury?
Smith is the wide receiver one from a target share perspective in this offense. But again, the difference, and I think we're going back to a previous episode where, Tags, what did you say that you have Jalen Hurts' touchdown projections at?
Okay.
26.
Yeah, I've got him at 18. So that's the difference there, is because Tags is probably allocating more touchdowns.
5.9 for Devontae Smith.
So I've got him at 4. So that's the difference there, is if, and that's in right in line with his expected touchdown rate based on what I've got him as far as targets. I've got him with 98 targets on the season. So I think with that, if you see Jalen Reagor miss time, yeah, I think that we can absolutely look at Devontae Smith as taking more of that target share. But I just don't think that the touchdowns are going to be there in this offense. And that's the difference, where looking at Devontae Smith, I'm like, yeah, he's good. I love the talent. Hate the situation. I just don't think it's going to mean, you know, fantastic things for fantasy football right away.
All right, let's get to some more of your guys here. Yates, you've got Henry Ruggs 22 spots higher. That's nearly 2 rounds more than Tags. And then Gabriel Davis, almost 3 rounds, 31 spots different. Now, everybody knows how I feel about Gabriel Davis. I'm buying in. I am all in, especially at the ADP, which is great because typically he's there for the taking when you want to. But you and I seem a little bit more aggressive. Ruggs is a guy I can't get there with. Try to sell me, because I want to hear why you think Henry Ruggs has that opportunity. Is it just last year was just maybe all the bad things at one time, bad luck, bad situation, you know, health, all those things kind of went south for him and you're just giving him a second chance? Or do you see something here with him potentially?
No, it's, well, I'm going back to what I evaluated him coming out of Alabama. I had him at wide receiver 2 in that draft class. I love the talent. I think he is a supreme talent. I hate the way that he's being used here in Las Vegas. And so with my projection, I was going into this season say, I think that they're going to get him involved in the slot. I think that we're going to see John Brown as a outside wide receiver as a starter. You got Bryan Edwards as the X. And then I think you're going to see Henry Ruggs kick into the slot quite a bit here. And then as we get into training camp, it sounds like he's still lining up at the Z. So this, and Hunter Renfrow is going to be a starter out of the slot. This is fantastic. Mm. I hate John Gruden. So Henry Ruggs, I think I'm going to have to go back here based on training camp reports, based on what we see in the preseason, you know, slot snap percentage. And I'm going to have to go back and I'm going to have to adjust it because he's not going to get the workload and the usage that I think he's going to, that he would if he lined up in the slot. Now he can still be used underneath as that Z receiver, but I think he's going to be utilized as that high A dot player like he was last year. And that's just not how I think that he needs to be used.
All right. So Tags, any sell points there for you, or you're just going to stand firm when it comes to Ruggs and Gabriel Davis?
I mean, as soon as you brought up Ruggs, I was going to say, did John Gruden and Greg Olsen get like brain transplants this offseason? Yeah. Because if they didn't, it doesn't really matter. Because no matter how you felt about Ruggs before the draft process, because I had him as my like wide receiver 5. I wasn't a huge Ruggs guy. But, you know, being drafted at 12 overall, I was like, hey, the opportunity is going to be there. You don't draft a kid at 12 mm-hmm. overall over CeeDee Lamb, over Jerry Jeudy, and then not use him.
Right.
But they did continue to not use him. And then they bring in John Brown this offseason to replace Nelson Agholor. They're expecting bigger things from Bryan Edwards. So it's, again, you start, as Yates mentioned, unless they change the idea of who Henry Ruggs is as a player, nothing is going to change. And by the way, they still love Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow has actually done a good job for them in the slot, which is why mm-hmm. I also thought Ruggs was a terrible draft pick when they picked him at 12. It made zero sense. Renfrow was perfectly fine. They should have been taking CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy with that pick. That's it.
All right, let's talk about your guys too. You've got two guys 18 spots higher than Yates, Deebo Samuel, Antonio Brown. I definitely understand the Antonio Brown one. You and I see the same on that. Deebo's the one that I can't get there. It's the health. It's the emergence of Ayuk, what I think of Kittle, the possible change of quarterback. There's just a lot going on for me. So sell me on Deebo Samuel, if you can, and the difference of why you think you're so much higher than Yates.
I mean, Deebo Samuel's a really good football player. That's what it comes down to. And Kyle Shanahan's a smart dude. Basically, he's finding ways to get Deebo Samuel the ball in his hands. And I told people last year, do not draft Deebo Samuel. He was coming off the foot surgery. You never, ever want to draft a wide receiver or a pass catcher who had it. And he didn't have it until like June or something like that. So I said, forget mm-hmm. about him. He's not someone that you want to rely on. But I said, I will be back in 2021. And here we are. I'm back in. Now, I can't go as in as I thought I was going to be because Brandon Ayuk is a star in his own right. But if you look at the breakdown between Ayuk, between Samuel and Kittle when they were all on the field, Ayuk was the last one in the pecking order. He was the one getting the fewest targets, had the smallest amount of performance. Kittle's going to get targeted. But they manufacture touches for Deebo Samuel. And I've said it before in the podcast. I'll say it again. I think Deebo Samuel is this generation's Jarvis Landry, a guy who's going to continually finish as a top 30 wide receiver. You're not going to feel sexy when you draft him, but you're going to get a high floor, particularly in PPR formats, because they're going to find ways to get the ball into his hands. If you go back even to 2019, you know, his rookie season, he was someone that performed every single time he got the opportunity. He was breaking off yards after the catch. He continually does that. And Shanahan's designed his offense to get him the ball in space to maximize those yards after the catch. They can't throw the ball down the field every time. You know, again, I've walked through the whole situation. He's not sexy, but he is definitely someone that you could start as a wide receiver 3 because of the floor he'll present.
I love the talent coming into the NFL, had a lot of shares his rookie year. You saw the glimpses. Last year was a disappointment. I'm just concerned. You're selling me a little bit. You're pushing me up the board a little bit there that they're going to still find ways. But my concern is once Trey Lance takes over, which is sooner than later, that the ball's in his hands and less of everybody else's. All right, let's get to some quarterbacks and tight ends here and talk about them. Tags, you have Lamar Jackson 16 spots higher than Yates. Jalen Hurts 71 spots higher than Yates. 71.
Is that legal?
Apparently. Here's the thing. I'm closer to Yates than you when it comes to Jalen Hurts. So sell us on Lamar and Hurts, and then we'll go to Yates and get his dig.
I mean, Lamar Jackson should be in the conversation for the number one quarterback off the board.
Agreed.
Not only has his past performance dictated that, but he also has the best receiving core that he's ever had. Lamar Jackson has posted, since he took over as a starter, he's posted QB1 type numbers, 76.7%. Patrick Mahomes over his career, QB1 type number, 69.6%. It just goes to show you, Lamar Jackson's been a stud. I know last year wasn't, he didn't live up to the people drafting him at the top of the second round. He didn't live up to that, but he was still a very, very good QB1. So to get him in like the fifth round of drafts right now is just silly. And then Jalen Hurts is someone that reminds me a little bit of Lamar Jackson. If we were to go back 2 years ago, people were saying Lamar Jackson's the breakout candidate. I think I wound up with him at like QB 12 or something like that, QB 13, because I was like, as a passer, I just don't trust him. But when I did my projections, and Yates, I don't know if Yates did the same thing. Obviously, he put in 18 touchdowns for Jalen Hurts. But if you, I sat down and I did Hurts' projections, and he came back in as like the QB 6 or QB 7, I was like, no way. I can't rank him there. I'm not going to do that. But if you want to tell me you're going to draft him as a top 10 quarterback, the projections say you're probably in the right spot, because there is upside with his legs are going to dictate that. Sure. If he's starting every game and he's using his legs, he's going to finish as a top 10 quarterback. And if his passing takes a step into the next level with Devontae Smith, with hopefully Jalen Reagor getting on the field.
Don't you say it.
Right.
Don't you say it.
You know, Dallas Goedert taking another step in his career, a new coaching staff, changing things a bit. Obviously, Doug Peterson.
You pivoted real quick. You know, you got to go right to Dallas Goedert. And then after that, you don't have much. I mean, but what you said about Lamar too, I think is very true. I mean, just for, you know, perspective, going into this year in terms of relative position value, right? Those top five quarterbacks for me, they're all just percentage points. I mean, Mahomes is about 10% better somewhere in terms of the fantasy league average quarterback. Josh Allen's 9, Kyler Murray's 7, Lamar Jackson's 6. So they're so tight together. You could see, you know, if Lamar's passing game does take that step forward, what a difference maker that is. Yates, real quick on these things. Look, I know you and I have talked about Hurts a lot. You don't have to continue on there, but do you think that Lamar Jackson really should be, we shouldn't forget how great 2 years ago was? Maybe this is a little bit too much of an overcorrection going on right now in his value.
And Tex, where do you have Lamar in your quarterback rankings?
Number 2.
Oh, you have him at 2.
Yep.
Okay, so I've got him at 4. So I'm right there. I still have Lamar Jackson right in line with ECR, with ADP. Like, I think he's going to be great. I just can't put him over Josh Allen or Kyler Murray or Patrick Mahomes. So that's who I've got above him. But he's right in that tier. I think that he's a fine investment where he's going. With Jalen Hurts, the question that I had for Tags is, how many rush attempts do you have him projected for? Do you know?
I will pull that up. It is 136.
So I've got him with 138, with 5 yards per carry and 7 rushing touchdowns on the year.
Okay, I have him at 5.2 yards per carry and 6.3 rushing touchdowns.
Okay,
which was so low.
It really does come down to then the difference in passing touchdowns. So you are putting more faith in my opinion, in his passing abilities and the receiving options that he's got in this offense than I am. I don't have a lot of faith in Jalen Reagor. I think that Devontae Smith's going to be good, but I don't think he's going to be a touchdown monster in year one. And then Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz is still here. I mean, you got Travis Fulgham, Greg Ward. Like, it's just not a ton of like fantastic receiving options around him that I think is going to compensate for Jalen Hurts' inefficiencies as a passer. So that's the difference there. It really does come down to the difference in passing touchdowns.
All right, let's talk about the difference of you guys between Tua Tagovailoa. Yates, you have 55 spots higher than Tags, and Aaron Rodgers 21 spots higher than Tags. So take me through these two guys real quick and let me know, you know, what is it that you're starting to see in Tua where you start to look at him versus the field and you start to feel, I guess, more confident in his abilities in 2021?
Sure. So with Tua, it comes down to the receiving weapons that he's got. And I really like what they did this entire offseason, bringing in Jalen Waddle, Will Fuller into town. The thing that could cause his ranking to come crashing down is the health of Devontae Parker, although we did see that he came off the pup here and is practicing today. Will Fuller, can his health status be? Can he maintain that all year long? That's going to be the difference there. If he doesn't have those top tier receiving options in this offense, then I think that I don't think he's going to hit where I've got him. But I think that we have moved on too quickly from Tua. And I think that the moves that they have made are a perfect compliment and match for what he is as a passer. So that's the difference there. I think that we've moved on too quickly from Tua. I don't want to forget him. I think he's a fine streaming quarterback. I don't have him as a top 12 option, but I think that he's going to be a really, really solid streaming option in some weeks.
QB2 is getting a little thin now, especially with the Carson Wentz injury and what's going on. Tags, are you starting to move Tua up at all in your mind?
I mean, I'm not really moving him up. I already had, I guess, higher expectations this year, but you can't draft a quarterback like him that had a terrible rookie season with those expectations built in. You have to like kind of let him come to you in drafts and hope that he breaks out. I have him at QB 17, so I mean, I'm not high on him. I'm not low on him. I feel like I'm in between because there's some people that are writing him off, have him outside their top 20 quarterbacks. There's some people that are expecting him to become an every week starter with the new weapons they put around him. I'm of the mindset that a quarterback makes his receivers more than a receiver makes a fantasy quarterback. And based on what we saw from Tua last year, it wasn't promising. But again, I'm willing to write off some of it just because he had a different offseason, right? He was coming off of surgery. He didn't really have a preseason. I think we've gotten to the point in general as a community where we expect players to just break out right away. And it's gotten to be a little bit unfair in a lot of ways. Like Justin Herbert, that was ridiculous. And I don't think anybody should have projected
absurd.
It. Right.
That was absurd.
So at least give Tua another year to prove you that he's not the guy. Because if he struggles again with the weapons they put around him, then obviously we have to start looking at elsewhere. But for right now, I definitely think he's a rock solid QB2 in Superflex two QB formats. But I don't want to draft him in single quarterback if I can help it.
Now, in terms of the tight ends, really wasn't a whole lot of difference. The one guys that stuck out. 8 spots difference for tags over Yates for Dallas Goedert, Gronkowski.
Wait, hold on. Sorry, we didn't talk about Aaron Rodgers. What do you do? Where do you have Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, tags.
I have my QB 9.
I've got him at QB 5.
So here's the thing. So Rodgers threw a touchdown 9.1% of the time in 2020. If we dialed that number back to Rodgers' career mark of 6.3, which is, by the way, still one of the best in the league and elite, he would have finished as the QB 10 last year rather than the QB 2 that he did. And the reason this is, I thought Rodgers was a value last year in drafts because he was going around that QB 9, QB 10 range. I wanted Rodgers because he was one of the safest quarterbacks. But if you think you're drafting a quarterback that's going to give you that number 2 ceiling again, I think you're delusional. And I'm saying that because Rodgers has lost his mobility. He does not run the ball anymore. He relies on the high touchdown. And again, any quarterback in NFL history that has thrown for more than 7% touchdown rate, they have regressed the following year. 9.1 obviously screams regression. So Rodgers, I still like him. I think he's a safe quarterback. If you want to draft him as the QB8, I'm fine with that. I have no issue with that. But if you want to say I'm going to take him over guys like Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, you know, I can't get on board with that.
Oh, I can't get on board with that. But also, once you get past that grouping, how much of a separator is Aaron Rodgers from?
Oh, he's quite a distance from the top 5, in my opinion. Russell Wilson is right there.
No. But he's not a great distance. I'm saying from the bottom half of QB1.
Oh, right, from Tom Brady. Tom Brady is very similar to Aaron Rodgers, as far
as I'm concerned. I'm saying too. Like you're getting to a similar kind of point where I don't know if it's worth the juice is worth the squeeze in the single quarterback league to make that pick at that price point because of what's available in the draft at other skill set positions. And the last one here, tight end, like I said, wasn't too much of a difference. Thanks, by the way, Yates, for reminding me and bringing back, because that's a great stat that we got out of that conversation on Aaron Rodgers. But Goddard, 8 spots higher for tags over Yates. Rob Gronkowski, 9 spots for Yates over tags. I think this is just perspective, right? I mean, Yates, I'm just curious, for Gronk, did you feel like another year here with Tom Brady and this, that you actually can get a little bit more out of Gronk? Or maybe you saw enough last year where you just feel it's safe?
I mean, I've got him at tight end 10. So I think that, I mean, it's, again, I only have him with 88 targets on the season, 7 touchdowns, but that's enough to put him at tight end 10 in my projections. So I mean, Gronk, he's still going to be on the field. He's still going to command targets. That's something that I can't get on. I can't allocate other targets to an Antonio Brown or, you know, these other receiving options here because I can't get on board with Antonio Brown because Gronk is still here. Gronk is still going to demand targets. So that's the difference there. I've still got Gronk heavily involved. And then with Dallas Goedert, I've still got Zach Ertz on this roster. And if Zach Ertz is still here, he's still going to be used, which puts a cap on Goddard.
And I think it's probably just as simple as flipping it around, right, Tags? You like Antonio Brown, therefore Gronk can't be quite as, I guess, fantasy beneficial in your mind.
Well, coming soon, boom, bust, and everything in between. Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham were the same player last year. And Jimmy Graham's going undrafted. Rob Gronkowski they were missing Chris Godwin for a couple games. They lost OJ Howard for the entire season. Both tight ends averaged 4.8 targets per game. They were both a top 12 tight end 37.5% of the time. And they both busted 43.8% of the time. So Gronkowski's situation is getting worse. While Jimmy Graham, they're just getting old. That's all that's happening. So neither of these tight ends have much upside. I'm not saying to draft Jimmy Graham. I'm basically just saying don't draft Rob Gronkowski.
Look, we're in bonus time already. We're giving you some extra because these are important conversations, important debates. Also important is to try to make the birthday boy feel a little old because, you know, he always gives us crap that we're old and all this stuff because he's a young whippersnapper.
What are you guys talking about? You're the one who gives me crap all the time about my age. I rarely turn that back around on you guys.
Yeah, but you're like the oldest 27 I know. You've got like a bunch of kids. You work on your deck. Like, you know, just, you know, it's like 27. God, if Tags and I told you what we were doing at 27, it'd be a very different picture. But I just want to say, these are things that are older than Yates now. And I want to see if I can make Yates feel old. The Shawshank Redemption is older than Yates. Yeah. I've been around a long time. I assume you've seen this film. Forrest Gump also.
Wait, you've never seen Shawshank Redemption?
I haven't seen Shawshank.
Oh, watch it. No. I promise you. Like, this is that's a movie that, like,
I've seen Forrest Gump though.
Okay. Forrest Gump. You're older than Forrest Gump. You are also older than your favorite Elton John song, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I just wanted to throw that one out there. You're older than the Tootsie Roll, and you're older than Black Hole Sun. A great Soundgarden tune there, but you're also older than Pulp Fiction. I don't know if you've seen this movie or
he's
not.
He's definitely not seen that one.
He's definitely has, but you should definitely see Shawshank Redemption. Yes. Tags is right.
That's the one I thought people see in school. Don't most people see that movie in school?
I don't think it's school.
I was homeschooled growing up, so.
Yeah, so he didn't see
everybody
it.
Everybody should see that movie, for sure.
How did you avoid it on TBS for the last 20 years? That's my
It's legit
question.
One of the best movies of all time. And I'm not saying that this is like, that's.
Oh, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. So yeah, that's worth your two. And well, before you have a second kid and you have no time to do anything at all, you gotta try to squeeze this in the month of August. Fine time, Gates. It's a good one. All right. I want to thank all of our sponsors of today's show, including DynastyOwner.com. Go to DynastyOwner.com today and prove to everybody just how good you are using the real NFL salary cap for your fantasy league. Also, go play some best ball over at underdogfantasy.com. $25 Best Ball Mania 2 entry on us just for signing up. Use that code FANTASYPROS and use the code FANTASYPROS at Pristine Auction. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Get a $5 credit on us when you do. And don't forget about our contest, Clyde Edwards-Helaire sexy helmet giveaway. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to get all the information about that. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fantasy Pros. Just click that little notifications button as well while you're at it. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Tags and Yates, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.